Hear the word of God. The first passage, the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. I invite you to open your Bibles with me or to view the words on the screen. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand looking here into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Hear the word of God also from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 48. "You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Hear also the word from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's the old saying. And I think most of the time that's true. We've all known that eager anticipation of seeing someone we love again. It builds as we hear their voice on the phone, or these days get a letter or even email from them. But of course, we feel excited precisely because we know when we'll see them again. Soon we will hold them in our arms, see that precious face again. But Jesus has just told his friends that he's not sure when he's going to see them again. The time is not in his authority. The two angels from God have just told the 11 apostles, after Jesus goes into heaven, not when he will return, but only that he will return. It's hard to be happy waiting for a reunion that's so uncertain. So what do we make of this? Because Luke tells us, while he was blessing them, he was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Does that strike you as a little odd? After all, these 11 have spent 3 years with Jesus. They've walked roads with him, eaten meals with him, been through ups and downs with him. They have just seen him alive after believing that he was dead and gone. And now he's leaving again. How can they be so happy when Jesus will be absent? Why don't they suffer separation anxiety? You know how that is with children? When mom or dad leave, and they're anxious and worried and they cry. What about the apostles? They're joyful. Luke says they were continually in the temple praising God. And after all, how can we be here in this temple of God, in this sanctuary, praising God, rejoicing as we're called to do today? Because Jesus isn't here in his physical body. I don't see him. We can't touch him or be touched by him. We cannot hear his voice assuring us of his love, telling us, hang in there, keep at it. How can we rejoice this morning? How may we feel inspired, energized to go into the world for the one that we don't literally see in front of us, and yet we're called to follow him? The ascension of Christ, Jesus' bodily exit from his earth, his entrance into heaven, teaches us that Jesus is with us as he was with the disciples in a mysterious yet wonderful way, and we are with him. The ascension assures us that, as the two men in white say in Acts 1 verse 11, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in the same way as you see him go into heaven. Jesus will return to earth. We will see him and be with him for eternity. But how is he present now? The three W's of our church motto show us why we rejoice today, how Jesus is present. Jesus Christ is present as he welcomes us, as we worship him, and as we witness to him. First, Jesus' welcome. Jesus Christ is with us every time we baptize a child or adult. He is with us. When someone is brought before God to be baptized, Christ is present in his grace. God is saying, I welcome this one. I accept this one as my beloved son or daughter. This one is precious to me. In the mystery of God's plan, I, as the minister of word and sacrament, speak the words, place the water on the child's head. But in a very real, spiritually powerful way, Jesus is doing that. Jesus sprinkles him or her with the waters of the covenant promises. He opens his arms to them, even as we as a congregation open our arms to that person in welcome. Jesus welcomes them as a member of his body on earth, the church. That welcome and acceptance continues beyond that day of baptism, through the time God brings someone to profess his or her faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. God's grace is what keeps us going through all our lives for the Lord. The ascension assures us of this. The Catechism says that Jesus is in heaven for our good. Jesus went into heaven not as a vague spiritual being, as a kind of ghost. Jesus enters heaven as a human body. Different from the body he has before the resurrection, yes, but still a body. He appears before the apostles. He eats. He shows them his hands and his side with the marks of the crucifixion. We benefit from the ascension, the Catechism says, because we have our own flesh in heaven. Humanity is now in heaven. Human flesh is in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Did you ever think of that? That is how deeply God cares about you and me. He has invested himself completely becoming one of us. And he is still one of us in our ascended Lord and Savior. So when we suffer, he suffers with us. When we pray for ourselves and for those we love, Christ hears our prayers. And when we sin and when we fail, Jesus pleads for us before our Father. He helps us repent, helps us turn from our sin. That is something to rejoice about today. The last action Jesus performs in his physical presence on earth confirms that he is with us and always will be. He raises his hands and he blesses the disciples after leading them out of the city. What do those hands look like? Are they smooth and soft? No, they're the hands of a carpenter. And not only that, they are scarred hands. Scarred from the nails that were driven through them. These are the hands the disciples see when Jesus blesses them. Hands with the marks of his suffering. His dying for them. For their sins. For our sins. For the sins of the world. These are the hands with which Jesus went into heaven. The marks still on his hands, on his side. At this moment, right now, where he sits in heaven at the right hand of his Father, he speaks for us to his Father. Jesus continues to bless us. Next Sunday, as we said earlier, we will eat and drink the supper of our Lord. Jesus will not be here physically handing us the bread and the cup. And yet, Jesus will be the host of that meal. He will spiritually feed us, refresh us, offer himself as the bread of life, as the vine, as we said last Sunday, in whom we must abide. We live depending completely on him. Jesus is with us as he welcomes us. And he is with us as we worship him. After Jesus ascends into heaven, the first thing the disciples do, after they get over staring up into heaven, is worship. The disciples worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, Luke says. Worship for them was not a duty. It wasn't something somebody told them to do. It's a privilege. They can't wait to do it. Worship is a natural response when the supernatural comes into our lives. When we sense Jesus in our midst, in his words, in his blessings, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in the faces of those who praise him with us and confess to him with us, then we worship. Worship is about celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ lives and rules the world and our lives. Worship can also be about lamenting our sins and lamenting for the world. Worship sometimes consists of crying out to God to come and fill us when we're empty. Whatever our fears or our joys, worship is experiencing God coming to us in the midst of them. So worship the Lord here this summer. Spend an hour with your brothers and sisters in Christ in the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Come, not because you're supposed to, not because you want to please somebody else. Come because you're hungry, because you're thirsty in your soul, because the troubles of your life can cause you to drift away from the Lord. Come because the good things in your life can cause you to leave him. We need to find our way back to him when he seems distant. And if Jesus seems near, then we come to rejoice and to praise him, to strengthen other believers, to help seekers find the Lord. But when you leave here, worship doesn't end. Pray to our ascended Lord. Praise Him. Ask Him to give you strength when you're tempted. He knows what it means to be tempted, remember. Ask Jesus to fill you when you're empty. Jesus knows how draining the world can be. It can drain us of our strength and our resolve to follow Him. Worship continually, as the disciples did. When we worship, we are with Christ. And when we witness, we are with Him. When Jesus ascends, the disciples stand staring up at heaven. After all, imagine what they've seen, this amazing sight. But then, God's messengers come. Why are you looking up here, they say. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven, men of Galilee? If we keep standing around waiting, we will miss how Christ is present right now in the world. We are with Him when we witness to Him. We are with Christ as we tell the world about Him in word and in deed. He is with us when we do what He did as He walked the earth. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We're with Christ as we witness to Him, to our children, when we pray for them, with them, when we show them what a Christian is by the way we live, by the way we love them, forgive them, guide them. We witness. We testify before the world, at home, on the job, at school, on vacation. We witness to another reality beyond this earthly reality. We witness that Christ is bringing His will into every detail of life. Living the ascended life, living for the ascended Lord, means we are constantly reminding ourselves of what matters most in life and of what really doesn't matter at all. Paul says, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on those things, not on earthly things. And when we get discouraged or indifferent, when it seems like a long time to wait, let's recall what the angel said. He is coming back. Don't forget it. Let Christ's second coming be our comfort. We may endure all kinds of trials. We may be tempted. We may be disappointed in this world. But this life and its pain are not final. The one who took our human experience into heaven will come back to earth. He will transform this world of evil and frustration. Heaven will come down, and earth and heaven at last will be one. And our joy will never end. Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. But in the meantime, you and I have work to do. To show and tell the hope we have in Christ. Until He comes again, you and I are His witnesses. But we don't witness on our own. You will receive power from on high, Jesus promises. The Holy Spirit will come down, He says. And that's what we celebrate next Sunday, Pentecost. Our ascended Lord is with us, empowering us through the Spirit. The Greek word for power is the word from which we get our word dynamic, dynamo. We speak of dynamic personalities. But all Christians, every one of us is dynamic when we receive power to live for Jesus Christ every day. So, what should we be so happy about this morning? We should be happy when we think of the present and future, because Christ is in that present and future. He has welcomed us into his arms by his grace. He blesses us this morning, right where we are, in our weakness as well as our strength. I'm also happy today, and I hope you are, to worship the Lord. What a delight it is to be in his presence. Someone summarized the good news as, God is available to us. Always he is available. His door is always open for us to go through. His heart is open to what we need. And I'm happy that we can be witnesses. Anxious and frail witnesses, witnesses who often fail, but witnesses, empowered witnesses. And I'm happy that Jesus Christ is coming again for me, for you, for us. Our ascended Lord is with us. That's what I'm happy about. Are you? Let us pray. Almighty God, sometimes it is easy to believe and especially to act as though Jesus is no longer with us. He has gone far away. Lord, help us to remember. Assure us that Jesus is with us, that we have the sign and seal of our baptism, that we have the sign and seal of the Lord's Supper, of his strength and refreshment coming to us always, that we are your own. Remind us, Lord, that we worship you, and Jesus is with us as we worship. Remind us that that worship is continual. Continually we are to rejoice and to live for Jesus, to witness for Jesus. Help us, Lord, to know that you are with us as we witness, as we go out and in our words and in our actions, in our thoughts, in our care for others. We are your witnesses. We are your presence in this world. And assure us, Lord, that Jesus will return to us. He will return. And so whatever is happening now is not final. Our sadness, our sorrow, our struggle, help us to see them in the context of eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for pleading our cause now before our Father in heaven. Thank you for taking us to heaven in a powerful sense now in your human body. We praise you, we thank you, we ask your strength. Amen.